Welcome to Life Bridge Online. Whenever it is that you're watching this, we are grateful that you are allowing us to come into your home and continue to minister to you and continue to reach out to the things that are going on in your world. We appreciate you giving us this time. It's the best of a bad situation, but it is our way of being able to stay connected. We want you to know that if you are one of our LifeBridge members and you still haven't been able to come back to church, we want you to know we miss you. We keep praying for the opportunity when we will gather together and worship. If there's anything that we can do to minister to you and your family, if there's a way that we can serve, if you will, let your life group leaders know or reach out to the church and as we follow up and as we connect with you, let us know of needs. If you're just visiting and you're tuning in right now and you're watching our services online, we are grateful that you are giving us an opportunity, and we pray that this message and the services that we provide will be a blessing to you in your life. We would love to connect with you. We don't know who you are, but you know us, and so we encourage you to reach out to us, as some have been doing the past couple of weeks. Let us know how we can minister to you. Last week, we gave you an update on the Restore His House, and if you're here at the on campus at 414 Clark Street, then you know that, hey, there's some things going on around here. Furniture has been moved, walls have been knocked down, there's new paint. This past week, carpets were cleaned, and we're starting to finish up part one of phase one, and we are moving into part two of phase one, and that is the foyer area. And so be looking for some changes as it pertains to that. The Restore His House campaign is all about just that, making improvements, maintenance, needed maintenance to the house that God has blessed us with here. And we have a goal of $35,000. We are at $9,500 as of right now. And I want to encourage you as a family to continue to give to this, because our efforts here are for our community. And we want to better utilize our building so that we can better reach the community and have a place for them. And so I want to encourage you, keep giving. We've got some momentum and things are happening. It's not going to be too long out in the near future. We will be moving to the outside, and there's going to be paint and new windows, and a lot of new and needed repairs will be taking place. And so want to encourage you to keep giving, and we appreciate your generosity and remind you that God loves cheerful givers. Let's pray, and then we're going to get into our sermon today. Father, thank you for all the blessings in life. Thank you for just this moment, where no matter where we are right now, whether we're driving down the road or we're listening to this as we cut grass or cleaning the house, Father, that we can have access to your word and we have access to you. And so, God, I pray that as we talk through this story, as we talk through this set of stories that Jesus is sharing with a diverse audience, that, God, you will speak to us. You'll meet us where we are. There's power in your word, God, and we believe that it can change our lives. We love you, and we ask these things in your son's name. Amen. So we are now into our fourth week of a series that we've called Lost. It's about parables that Jesus has told to an audience. It's an audience that has notorious sinners, tax collectors. He's eating the meal with them. And then he, off to the side, there's this group of Pharisees, religious leaders. And they're not happy with Jesus. They don't like that he is associating himself with these notorious sinners, these outcasts, if you will. And so Jesus, addressing the situation, he tells a series of stories. We've been talking about that for the past couple of weeks, the story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and we've been talking last week about the two sons and then what the true elder son should look like. And so the master storyteller, is sharing a story about a certain man who had two sons. All right? Now, the audience listening to Jesus identifies with the sons. You and I can identify with one of these two sons, or maybe, depending on the season of life that we're living in, we can identify with both sons. And here's the truth. You and I have our own version of lostness that these two sons represent. It may not look exactly like the younger son, or we may not be exactly as self-righteous as the older son, but you and I have our own version as we have wandered away from God, or as we have become so self-righteous that we realize we don't need the Father. Well, in the story of the prodigal son, there's a third main character that we want to talk about today, and this is the father. And so if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Luke chapter 15, verses 11. I'm going to pick up where Jesus picks up in the story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. So the younger son, the very beginning of the story, the younger son comes to dad one day and he demands. He doesn't ask for it. He doesn't say, "Hey, Dad, do you think you could spot me a loan? Dad, do you think you could go ahead and give this to me? Because I want to start investing in my own future." No, he comes and he demands that, "Dad, you give me my share. Give me my share of your estate." And this is what he's saying: "Before you die." And so the father agrees to divide his wealth between his sons. And I want you to notice something in these verses. It's the words of what the son is asking for, and it's the word for what the father actually gives him. He says, the younger son comes and he demands, "Give me your share, give me my share of your estate." So that's what the younger son is asking. "I want my share of your estate." Estate, of course, means property and everything that is within. But then look at what the father says. It says the father agrees to divide his wealth. Now, this is interesting to me. How come the father did not say that I agree to divide my property, my estate? He says, "I agree to divide my wealth." Well, the Greek word wealth means bios, which means life. The word estate in the Greek means exactly that. It means property. But the Greek word for wealth means life. And it's interesting that Jesus uses this difference. Jesus, I think, in making the distinction, is letting the audience know just how personal a request like this really is. So the father agrees. He gives in. "I'll do it." Which is the first lesson that you and I can learn from the father in this story. The first lesson is the father will let us choose where we live, because that's what it's all about. The younger son is saying to the father, "I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in your presence." And so the father will let us choose where we live. We can remain in his presence, or we can choose to live outside of his will, outside of his presence for our lives. And the truth is, when we choose the sinful life, when we choose to tell the little white lie to save ourselves, or we choose to steal something, whatever it is that we continue to choose to do in our lives, we are choosing to live outside the presence of the Father. He gives us a choice. That's another difference, isn't it, between the lost son, the lost coin, and the lost lamb. The Father is not going to make us choose Him. Okay? He's not going to make us choose Him. We have to choose him ourselves. So the father agreed to give his son what he is demanding. Now we know the story. The son leaves, doesn't he? He goes away and he squanders what the father has given to him. The wayward son eventually, because of famine in the land and all his friends have left him, and he was, the way he was spending money, he was attracting a crowd. He had a posse, if you will. After all of that is squandered, after all of that is gone, the young son finds himself in a desperate situation. We say it a lot of times, he's finally hit rock bottom. The Bible says that he's come to his senses. And so the younger son, as he's feeding pigs, as he's longing for the very food that these pigs have, he comes to his senses and he devises a speech. He comes up with a plan and he comes up with a speech that he is going to share. Hopefully, when he goes back, because he's come to his senses, he will earn the right to be near the father under his provision. He says, "I will tell my father that I've sinned against him, and I am no longer worthy of being called his son. Please take me on as a hired servant." He's like, I'm not trying to get back in the big house under your roof. I just want to be near you. I just want to have the leftovers, what you pay the hired hand. I feel the guilt and the shame of what I've done to you, Father. And I can't imagine you, the Father, taking me back as a son. So take me back as someone who works for you. Let's read that in Luke chapter 15. We'll start in verse 20. So he returned home to his father. Like, this is the plan that he came up with. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So the party began. Picture it, if you will. This wayward son works out his plan, the plan that he came up with while feeding pigs. And while he's still a long way off, the father didn't wait on the son to get all the way back to the homestead. The father's not sitting on the porch and seeing him, waits on him to come. No, the father saw him and he ran to his son. And with love and compassion, he embraces him and he kisses him. This younger son who has ruined the family reputation, who has squandered a large amount of money. This younger son who is weary from traveling, he's probably filthy. I imagine since he's been hanging out with pigs, he is probably smelly. And the father runs to him and he embraces him. And amidst the shock, right? Like, you're the younger son and you just know you're not going to be accepted back. You know that the father's going to hold a grudge towards you because you've ruined the family name. You've brought shame on the reputation of your dad. And amidst the shock, this lost son clears his throat and he gives the rehearsed speech. "Father, I have sinned against you and heaven." And as he's talking, the father doesn't even check up. "Bring out the finest robe. Get the ring for his finger. Put some new shoes on his feet. Start the barbecue. We are going to celebrate." And this is the second lesson about the father for you and I today. The father is waiting on our return, and he receives us with kindness. I'll say it one more time for you. The Father is waiting on our return, and he receives us with kindness. And church, if you don't hear anything else today, please hear this. It doesn't matter how far you have wandered away from the Father. It doesn't matter what sin you are living in right now. The Father is waiting on your return, and He will accept you back with kindness. His grace, His bountiful grace, is farther reaching than the sin that you are in today. And when He sees the repentant heart, when He sees you coming to that moment of coming to your senses and repenting from your sins, He runs to you. And I want you to go back to imagining this, if you will, in your mind. Understand the cultural faux pas that is illustrated here. Middle Eastern men that Jesus is sharing this story with, Middle Eastern men don't run. They do not lift their robes to reveal their legs. This is an embarrassing move on the part of the Father. But this is the picture of the Father's grace. He is extending this grace to both sons. He's extending this grace to this lost son who has come back. The younger one who is choosing to live away from the Father, and the older one who is self-righteous. His grace goes out to all. The third lesson about the Father is found in this same dialogue of acceptance. And it's important that we get this. When you and I choose to live someplace other than the Father's presence, He sees us as dead. Yeah. When I choose to leave the Father's presence for living my way, for ignoring what He's asking of me, by breaking off levels of obedience and saying, you know what, I really don't want you. I want to satisfy my own self. I want to satisfy my own desires. When we choose to live this way, there's only one way the Father can see us, and He sees us as dead. And I don't know how to emphasize this enough. But I'll tell you this, in this story, Jesus includes the detail twice. He says it as the younger son comes back home, and He says it in the presence of the older son, who never leaves the Father's side. Look at verse 24. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. He's sharing that to all these other servants. He's sharing that to the helpers, to the people who are familiar with the situation. And he says, my son was dead. He was lost. Hey, but now he's alive. Now he's returned to life. He's coming back to my presence. Look again in verse 32. This is between the dad and the older son. The older son didn't want anything to do with this celebration. And so the dad goes out and he's begging, please come in and be part of the party. In verse 32, it says, we had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. And the truth is, church, if I'm choosing sin or choosing to live away from the Father's presence, we are dead. And that may sound mean. It may be taken as unloving. But we, you and I, are part of His story. We are part of the Father's world. And the Father can have nothing to do with sin. God's not part of my world. We lose sight of that, especially in our society. As we continue to live for ourselves and make choices that benefit us and choose to ignore the Father, we think that the Father is part of our world. But the truth is, I am part of His. And in His world, He can't tolerate sin. So you and I can tolerate sin. we're much more tolerant towards sin because we are sinners. And the Father is completely holy and righteous. The prophet Habakkuk says that God cannot even look upon sin. God can't look upon it. He can have nothing to do with this. And I don't want to ever use fear or guilt as a tactic to get you to quit living in sin. But please don't miss that God can only see you as dead because of your choice to live outside of His will, because of your choice to live away from Him. That's the only way that He can see you. And so come to your senses. Come to your senses and know that living in the Father's presence, no matter what you have to give up, is better than being out of His presence. And that's the fourth lesson for today. Living in the Father's presence is always better than someplace else. Coming to his senses, as the younger son did, the only thing he could do was return to his father. Notice in the story, there wasn't an option for, I'm in the pig pen, famine has reached the land, so I will travel to a farther distant land where the famine isn't present, where I can work and I can make something of myself and I can make a better life. Coming to his senses meant one thing and one thing only. Coming back home. Coming back to be in the presence of his Father. And here's the thing. This is the best life we can possibly have. Now, our world around us tells us that's not true, and that's a lie that we often buy into. We think we've got to keep up with others, and we think that we have to keep up with the world, and we justify our actions, and we choose continually to be away from the presence of the Father. Some of us go straight overboard and we flee and we don't look back and we don't ever want to see the Father or be near the Father. That's where some of us go. Some of us just hang out on the fringe where we kind of have access to the Father when we need the Father. But the truth is, being in the presence of the Father is the best life that we can possibly have. You know, next week we're going to talk about the feast and what awaits us as we come to our senses. The younger son wanted to come back to the Father. It says, I will go home to my Father, is what it says. This isn't about the Father's stuff. This isn't about, hey, I will just be there and I'll get the table scraps of my father's stuff. I'll get the table scraps of the food that is left over. This is about coming home to the Father. It's about the Father and being in his presence. Now remember, the older son was also missing out on being with the Father. He's a hard worker. He's a hard worker for the kingdom. He does right by the eyes of so many. He's always obedient. But he too is missing out on the presence of the Father. In relationships, if we act out of obligation and not love, bitterness and a hardened heart is sure to ensue. The younger son has figured out being with the Father is better than any other option. And so whether you find yourselves today in the role of this older son who is indignant, he's mad, he's has this angry streak, and he's dealing with the very bitterness and hardened heart, whether you find yourself relating to that older son, or if you find yourself relating to the younger son who is wayward and he's gone and he's squandered and he's brought shame on, I want to close with this verse. The Father is waiting on you. And don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His kindness is intended to turn you away from your sin? Church, I pray that you will see the Father as someone who is waiting, waiting patiently for you to come to your senses and return to His presence. Till next week.